Looking at the something I almost never do, I'm going to be looking at a topic this morning, and you'll find out why I never do this, because I'm horrible at it. But Romans chapter 6, what I want to look at is baptism this morning, because we're going to be having a baptism. And I want to look at why we have baptism. I don't know that I've ever preached on it. I've alluded to it in different sections, but we're going to be in Romans chapter 6 this morning. I want to read you just a couple of verses outside of Romans that talk about baptism. We have commands from Scripture. We have examples from Scripture. In Acts chapter 9, it talks about Paul and how he came to know Jesus Christ and he was blind. And then it says, immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales and he regained his sight. And he got up and he was baptized. So his first act of obedience was to be baptized. He had trusted Christ through the witness, and he got up, he was baptized. In I believe it's Acts chapter 10. I didn't write this one down, but I think it's Acts chapter 10, where it's in Cornelius' house. Peter was saying, surely no one can refuse the water for these to be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we did, can he? And he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. So here was another example of not Jewish people, but Gentiles who were baptized because they had come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. In Acts chapter 18, talks about a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple fabrics, a worshiper of God, was listening. And the Lord opened her heart to respond to the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household had been baptized, she urged them, saying, if you've been judged me to be faithful, come and stay with us. So her response to recognizing the truth from what Paul was saying was to be baptized. In Acts chapter 16, we have the Philippian jailer. He took them, the Philippian jailer took those who were in prison, which would have been Paul and the others. Says he took them that very hour of the night, washed their wounds, and immediately he was baptized in all his household. So you have examples throughout Scripture where people are saved and then they're baptized. So what we recognize from this is that there's an order. There's salvation, and then there comes baptism. And so what we're going to look at is what baptism represents today. Just want to look at that very quickly, because in Romans chapter 6, where we're going to kind of camp out, and this is so hard for me, because you know, because I preached through Romans twice, you know that when I get to chapter 6, I usually do at least a verse a week, sometimes two, but that's about it, okay? So here we're going to be looking at 14 verses, and this is going to, so if it doesn't go till 5 o'clock tonight, I'll be amazed, but I'm not going to dig like I normally dig, so it's going to be a little different. But I want you to see the picture. I want you to see the picture of what this baptism, this water baptism represents, that has already happened in the lives of these young people that we're going to be baptizing today. I get the privilege of hearing their testimony. Folks, you pay me to do it. It is so cool. It's amazing. But I get the privilege of hearing their testimony and how they came to know the Lord and what that means. But then in baptism, what we have is a picture of what has already happened spiritually. When you are saved, you are baptized into the Holy Spirit. You have become a child of the King, and you have the Holy Spirit indwelling you, and we are in Christ, and Christ is in us. And that goes beyond my ability to give you that information this morning. There's no way I can even touch on that very much. But that truth is expressed in water baptism. That truth is shown in water baptism. But there's a reason, and I want you to see it. Starting in verse 1 of chapter 6 in Romans, it says, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? Now, this is one of my favorite passages. Everybody knows who has ever been in youth group. You know what the answer is, right? Verse 2, what's the answer? Meganoita. That's right. Meganoita. In other words, that's the Greek. And it means, may it never be. It can never be that way. All right? But here's the reason he asks it. You look at verse 1, he says, what should we say? Should we continue in sin so that we can get more grace? Because back in verse 21 of chapter 5, it says, so that as sin reigned in death, even so grace would reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, everyone wants the grace of God. We get excited about the grace of God. We love the grace of God. But here he says, you know what the natural mind, the fleshly mind thinks? You know, if I just sin more, I'm going to get more grace. So why not sin more? Because I like grace. I like God's unmerited favor. I love it when he blesses me. And if I sin, he's going to bless me even more because he has to, because I'm dumb. And he wants me to be blessed. He wants to give his favor to me. And so the natural mind, he says, there's a question that you could ask. And the answer, of course, verse 2, meganoita, may it never be, because how shall we who died to sin still live in it? Died to sin. How did we die to sin? We died to sin by trusting in his grace. Now, we'll explain that. Just hang on. Boy, I would love to hang out here, but I'm not going to. Verse 3. Look at verse 3. Because here's where we get into the picture. Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized, this is spiritual baptism, into Christ, Jesus, have been baptized into his death? Now, this is the truth that happens to us spiritually. And that's why we have this picture. That's why we have water baptism, because it's a picture of what has happened to us. It's a picture to show everyone here. It's the picture to show the public what has happened internally to these people, to us. We do this not to be saved and not to keep our salvation or to regain our salvation or anything. This is an act of obedience to show our salvation, to show everyone what has happened internally. And this is what's happened internally. You look back at verse 3. All of us who have been baptized, we've been baptized into Christ Jesus, have been baptized into his death. So his death is significant. Now the picture we use in baptism, we put them under the water, which is it's a picture of Christ's death, burial, and then raise them up, and that's the resurrection. You know, if we had baptisms and Christ never rose again, everybody would drown, right? Because don't raise them up. But we raise them up because of Christ's resurrection, and that resurrection means life, and we'll get into that. But look what it says in verse 4. Therefore, now here's the conclusion of that, because we've been baptized into his death. We've been, we relate, our identity now is in his death and his burial and his resurrection. I want you to remember that word, our identity, because that's what we're going to be looking at. That's in his death, his burial, and his resurrection. We're baptized into that death. So the picture here we have up here is a picture of what has happened to us when we're saved. When we trust in Jesus Christ, we are baptized into his death. Why do we need to be? Because that death paid for our sins. We could never be forgiven without the death of Jesus Christ. He is the sacrifice that God accepted for the forgiveness of sins. He accomplished the law for us. If Christ had not accomplished the law for us, we could never have been forgiven. But then he was raised to new life. And we'll look at that in a minute. So we're associating ourselves with the death of Christ. Look at verse 4. Therefore, oh, and by the way, just as a side note, you have to see this. The word baptized here is literally it's dipped. All right, that's the word dipped. Now in our church, what we do, we immerse. We take them down under the water and bring them back up. Just because the picture, I think, is the best picture that shows. Shows death, Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. Plus, you know, when you have John the Baptist, you'd hate to call him John the Dip, you know? So we use the word Baptist, baptizer. Sandy got it. But, okay, there's the joke for the day. All right. But that's literally a word. And it was used, that word's used for the washing of cups and of saucers. They would baptize them in water. They would wash them in water. That's literally a word. So that's what we use. Look at verse 4. Therefore, here's the point. we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. So the point in Christ dying and raising again for us isn't just so we can have salvation. That's not the only point of salvation. So we can have eternal life. That's not the only point. It's so that we can what? Walk in newness of life. So that we can live out the life of Christ here. And you see, what's great about this is what we're going to do today in showing what God has already done with us is a point in which people are going to look at that and say, you know what? You were baptized. You had a change of heart at this point. Do you know what that makes the people that are baptized? It makes us accountable. Accountable to others. And I'll prove that to you at the end of this. Okay? Look at verse 5. For if we have, and the word if is the word since. It's a first class condition. For since we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, and the word knowing is growing and experiencing knowledge, growing and experiencing knowledge that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be done away with so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. Okay? Here's the point. You are a slave. I hated to break this to you, but you are a slave. And you are either a slave to sin or you are a slave to God, to righteousness. Look what it says through the next verse. For he who has died is freed from sin. So if you have died in Christ, if you follow him in trusting him and that death, you are spiritually baptized into his death, then you have put away sin. Sin no longer is master to you because you've died to sin. Does that mean you never sin? No. That's not what it means at all. You know, people without Jesus Christ can do good things, but it's not accredited to them for righteousness because they have a master that's called sin. And that master, it's credited, whatever they do is credited to that master sin. And so when they sin, it's natural. When they do something righteous, it's still credited to that master sin. We who have trusted Christ have a new master, and that new master is God. So even when we sin, it's credited to God. And you know what God does with it? Puts it on Jesus Christ at the cross. So even when we sin, God has already forgiven us. Because we have a new master. We give it to God. We belong to God. So everything we do represents God. So when we sin, represents God. And you know what God says? I forgave you for that. That's grace. That's why he starts out and says, should we continue in sin? So grace abounds? Because we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. So Satan, who is the accuser of brother, says, did you see what Mark did? He was on vacation. And he didn't go to church. I had my whole congregation with me. He didn't go to church. Did you see it? And you know what Jesus Christ? Acquitted. I died for every sin Mark does. That's grace. That's grace. And that's the picture. That's what truly happened to us. This is the picture of what happened to us. Okay? Keep going because I want to get to the end of this. I don't even know where I'm at. And my notes are gone at this point. I haven't even looked at them. Okay, where are we at? Verse 8? Okay, now, if we have died, since we have died with Christ, we believe we shall also live with him, knowing, that word knowing is the word oida. Knowing in our head completely, it's in the perfect tense, knowing fully, intuitively, that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him. And if we've died with him, and if we've raised with him, then death no longer is master over us. Do you realize what it's like to do? You may not, because you've never done a funeral. To do the funeral of a Christian. So good. because it's a praise. And it still hurts. It's still a problem because there's still a separation. But at the same time, they are standing face to face with Christ. Death no longer is master because of what he has done. And this is the picture. Now, keep going. Verse 10. For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves. Here's the key. Consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Go over to Romans chapter 12. We were looking at that in Sunday school. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is just a reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this world, but consider yourself. But be transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. That's why he says, consider yourself. We still sin. Look at the facts. We still sin. Even though we have died to sin, it's not put on our account anymore. That's why in our flesh we say, cool, I can do whatever I want. The problem is, what do I want? Because he gives us a new heart. And when he gives us a new heart, he said, he will give you the wants of your, the desires of your heart. He puts desires in our hearts. We have, as Christians, we have godly desires. And our flesh can suppress them. Our flesh can say, you know what, that looks silly. I don't want to do that. That's not fun. That's not going to make me any money. That's not going to... And yet, those godly desires are what satisfy us and what fulfill us, because it's God working in us. So you see what's truly happened in our life. When we come to know Jesus Christ, we are associating with his death. We are associating with his resurrection. We are placed in that camp. And it means something. Look at the last verse. Verse 3. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its lust. And do not go on presenting the members of your body as instruments of sin, but present yourself to God as alive from the dead. Because that's the truth. We present ourselves to God as alive from the dead. So yes, we can say no to sin. Why? Because he has forgiven us. Because he has blessed us. Because he has raised us up together with him. Finish it out. Verse 14. For sin shall not be master. This is why. Sin shall not be master over you. For you are not under law, but under grace. What's the power of law? What's the power of sin? Is the law. We're not under that law anymore. We're under grace. So the picture that's happened is when Jesus Christ died, he died for my sin, not his. When he was raised up, he was raised up to new life so that I could have new life. You realize already that he had eternal life already, right? He wasn't given eternal life when he was raised. He gave it to us. So we now have that. Water baptism is a picture of that. And what I want you to see is it's an act of obedience. It's commanded in Scripture, but it's commanded for a reason. It's not commanded so that we can finally have full salvation. It's not commanded so that we can finally feel better. It's commanded so that we now become accountable to the world, saying, I have trusted Christ, who died for my sin, who was raised so that I can have new life. Now, I can live that life. If you look back, go back to verse 4. Therefore, we've been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead, and by the way, that glorified the Father, so we too might, and that's a subjunctive, we have the possibility or the probability, might walk in newness of life. You see what this baptism here represents is who we are, our identity. We are now slaves of God. We are now children of the living God. And when we're baptized, it's to show the world that we are children of the living God and we can walk in newness of life. Now, I want to prove that to you because quite a few years ago, I baptized somebody who had a criminal record. He had had problems in his past. And I baptized him. And he was saved, and I baptized him. And I was talking to somebody, to a deputy sheriff, I believe. And I said, yeah, we're going to have a baptism, and I'm baptizing this guy. And he said, really? I said, yeah. I said, well, he, you know, came to know the Lord. And he said, I'm going to have to see that to believe it. People see it. People watch your life. There it is right there. So at that point, when I baptized him, he became accountable to that deputy sheriff. You realize that? When you become baptized here, you are showing that you can walk in newness of life because you have the Holy Spirit directing you, because you are associating yourself with the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You become accountable for how you live. You say, wait a second. You can't tell me how to live. No, I can't. God can. God does, right here. He shows us. He's given us example. Paul himself says, follow my example in how I live here. But you see, this is a picture, but it's a picture that has a valid statement. And that statement is, I am trusting God. I am trusting in Jesus Christ and what He has done. And my life now is structured under what God says. And oftentimes I think we look at it as just a mandatory thing that puts us into a little group of society. It's not. It's important. Baptism, water baptism, is important because it shows everything that we just talked about. It shows that we are spiritually in Christ, that our identity is now wrapped up in Christ. And the world then can look at us and see Jesus Christ. It's serious. That's how serious it is. And it is so cool when somebody comes and says, I want to be baptized. And it's so amazing because they've come to know Jesus Christ and they want others to see that they've come to know Jesus Christ. Love it. And we have four people here this morning. I'm going to look at my notes. I know I messed something up really bad. It doesn't matter. It's gone. We have four folks, four young people today who have come to know Jesus Christ and they want to be baptized. I'm going to ask them to go on downstairs and get ready. And I'm going to go downstairs and get ready. I got to change clothes real quick. And I'm going to ask, did we decide it's Ellen, right? I'm going to ask Ellen to come up. She's going to lead singing. And I've got some guys coming up here to move stuff around.